You can be seated, and I appreciate you being here this morning. I got up this morning, like he said, I got up with a headache. I looked in the mirror, it started hurting a whole lot worse.
I'll tell you. Saw me.
But anyway, just pray for me. I used to not have headaches at all, but after I got a little more age on me, getting a little more.
But it must be catching,
and it's going to be worse than that probably for it's over with. But that's all right, too. I praise the Lord that he's let me live for 40 years plus. Amen. Y'all caught that one, I hope.
40 years.
Oh, he's been too good to me. I know that. And he has for you, too. You may not realize it. You may not say it. But I believe you will if I ask you how good God's been to you. You just say, tremendous. And I know he has. I appreciate what God's done for me. He loves me when I'm so unlovable. He cares for me when I need caring for, and even when I don't need caring for. His grace is sufficient for all of my needs, no matter what it might be. He's there with me all the way. And I really appreciate God's love. I don't know what I'd do without his grace. Can you hear me all right? Can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sometimes I get a little bit low, and sometimes I get high, and so, I mean my voice, I ain't talking about myself. Okay. But anyway, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ephesians this morning. I'm going to be using that, but I'm going to be going back to the Old Testament in just a little while, too. So if you want to turn that, that'll be okay, too. I'll give it to you in just a few minutes. All right. In Ephesians chapter 6. Found it? God's telling us here, put on the whole armor of God. And then he tells us what the armor is. You know, we're in a warfare, so to speak. We are in the army of the Lord. And I realize that when you're in service for the United States, you have to put on the whole armor, don't you? Or you have to put on some armor. I don't know whether you put them all on or not, but you have to put on armor if you're fighting. You know, we're fighting today. We're fighting the devil. Are we not? Sure we are. So we need to put on the whole armor of God that we might stand against the devil and his imps. So let's read it. Ephesians chapter 6. Now start reading with verse 10, if you will. Family, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. here he is telling us to put on the old armor of God, and he's also telling us that the reason that we need to put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness of high places. Then it says, put wherefore, is wherefore, excuse me, I can't see good either, is wherefore take you unto you whole armor of God, that you may able to be withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Did you notice something about this? Let's stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, and take the word of God. Is praying always with all of prayer and supplication in all, in the Spirit, and watching thereunto all perseverance and application to all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. You have known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And then the Apostle Paul gives the final greetings where he wants to give those people of Ephesus there. He said, but that you all so may know my affairs, but and how I do. Titus, my beloved brother and faithful minister, the Lord shall make known to you all things, and for whom you have sent unto you all the same purpose, that you might know your affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with you, with faith from God, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That grace be with you, all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ, and in sincerity, amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the privilege and honor that we have to be in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God that we have, that we can look at and to study, Lord, and to pray and be led by the Holy Spirit this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the ones that are here. Thank you, Lord, that they're so faithful, and we appreciate it. Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you're just taking and using them for your honor and your glory. And Father, we'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As I said a minute ago, that we need to put on the whole armor of God. God tells us this here in the book of Ephesians, and when he tells us that, whatever God tells us to do, and we know this is what God's speaking to us, that's what we ought to do. We shouldn't say, why, Lord, when he tells us to do something. We shouldn't ask him where he wants us to do it. He'd be willing to let you know where he wants you to do it. So you know that God wants us today to follow him. And I know that we can't follow his footsteps, but we can go as close as we can to his footsteps and follow him. And thank God that we have the opportunity to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for that. But he's telling us now that we're saved. We're here in the army of God, and we ought to stand for him. He says, put on the whole armor of God. And always in every prayer and minute, we ought to be praying for for lost souls and trying to win people to Christ. We ought to be about the Father's business, in other words. When his Mary and Joseph left Jesus there when he was just a little child there, and when they missed him, they turned back trying to find him. And when they found him, it was a long time that they found him, before they found him. Now, this goes to show me one thing. It's one thing to get away from the Lord, but it's hard to get back to him. A lot of times it's that way. But he's telling us that if we'll just ask him to forgive us of our sin, then he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But now he's telling us to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That devil is a cunning old bird, ain't he? He's the one that is trying his best to tear up what God does. But you know what? His time is limited. Yes, he's having a heyday now. Yes, he's enjoying some of the things he's doing, if not all of them now. He's got us kind of in and out, so to speak, in a certain way. And he's trying his best to do everything he can to upset us and to get us to do something against the Lord's will and different things against the Lord. So, you know, when he does that, he's having a heyday if he can. And sometimes, and so many people, and I've done it myself, and I'm sure that as one time or the other in your Christian life, you've done the same thing. You let the devil have it in the way instead of the Lord. Have we not done that? I'm sure that every one of us have done that. But he's telling us here, he said, let's get away from this. Let's get away from it right now. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform until the day of Jesus Christ. Excuse me. For you is both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all a partakers of my grace. Thank God that we are partakers of our grace, of his grace, I mean. It is our grace, but it comes by him for us. In other words, it's God's grace for us, and thank God for it. You know, he tells us what to do, and he tells us what part we're to put on. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. What is truth? It's the word of God, is it not? God's word is true. It says, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm reminded of when that, and you know, we were identified by the blood of Jesus Christ, are we not? And what we do in our Christian life, people are looking at us. I'm reminded when I read that scripture there where the Bible says that, you know, the brother that went off in a far country, you know, he wanted what it was his from his daddy. So his daddy gave it to him. He went off, got in trouble, and he says, look what I'm missing out on. I think I'll go back home. So here he goes. He goes back home. And when he gets about part of the way back, or just about all the way back, I'd say, and his daddy saw him coming down the road, no doubt, going down the path or whatever he was walking on. And here he was. He took off running and met him, throwed his arms around him and told him to come on back. That's the way God is when we do something wrong. He's there waiting for us to say, I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? But then when he done that, let's look at something else. He says, let's be married. He told him to put a ring on his finger. Now, what was that ring for? It was for identity, wasn't it? Why, when my wife put this ring on my finger, you know what? She identified herself with me. She may not like it now, but she did then. Right? She identified herself with me. The same way with Jesus. He identifies us with himself. And we better watch out what we do. Because when we do something wrong, then what's happening? It's making a mockery of the Lord. And we don't want to do that, do we? Absolutely not. But here he is saying here now, he said, he told him to put shoes on his feet. Didn't know? Those shoes was preparation of the gospel of peace from that son, that daddy. And I believe that, and I also believe that God, Jesus Christ, says the gospel of peace. He gave us that, did he not? And I'm reminded also that God has given us on our way plenty of things that we need every day of our life. You know, we're going to heaven one day, are we not? You know why? We accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. The blood of Jesus Christ cleansed us from all sin. Yes, we're still living in this old body. This body wasn't eradicated yet. It still hadn't been. And we might sin and come short of the glory of God. And I do, and I believe that you do too. If you just admit it sometimes. And when we do that, then when we admit it, then we ask the Lord to forgive us, because the Holy Spirit's already showed us that we've done wrong. When we do it wrong, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit's going to convict you. I believe it as much as I believe I'm standing here right now, because he does it to me. I do some things wrong, and I have to say I'm sorry. You know what? God said that if we'd confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you see, he's given us something that we can go by. He's given us something in our Christian life. And I want to share that with you this morning. That was just my introduction. Now, if you return with me to Joshua chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through 9, you'll find, I'm not going to take time to read it, but you'll find the book of Joshua begins with this statement. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass. In other words, it was after Moses died that God spoke to Joshua. You know, Joshua was Moses' right-hand man, so to speak. But God spoke to Moses, but Moses died. Now, Joshua has suffered a great loss here, but in a lot of cases, this is after that we suffer loss, that God can speak to us. And he will. You see, I think about something else. Oh, it was in a year that King Uzziah died. And when King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And you know what happened to him? He said, Lord, here I am. Send me. He realized that. See, there was suffering that came in Isaiah's life, and he was transformed, and he was yielded to the life of God. When he realized that Isaiah was gone. You see, Joshua here has never been appointed by God to lead the children of Israel. He done it then. because Moses wasn't there. He appointed Moses, but then, you know, Moses died. Therefore, before they are to leave, God just told him, he said, look, don't you worry about a thing. I'm right here with you. I'm going to be with you. There's nothing that you do that I'm not going to be with you. And that's a solemn saying right there. God told us the same thing, but you stop and think about it. He promises us that, doesn't he? He said, I'll go with you even unto the end of the way. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That puts a burden on us sometimes in our natural state. We're not supposed to sin, are we? But if we do, what happens? There we go. Okay. We do it, and God knows all about it because he's there with us. You see, we take off, don't we? We get somewhere we're supposed to be. We get something we're supposed to be doing. Why? Because we're Christians. Are you a Christian this morning? Are you saved by God's marvelous grace? That's the reason we're saved, by God's marvelous grace. Nothing that we've done is simply what he's done for us. There on Calvary's cross, he died for our sin. We didn't die for our sin, did we? But Jesus died for our sins. Thank God that he did. We'd be in bad shape if we hadn't. Oh man, we would be in bad shape. But how long the road ahead of Joshua was, he didn't know. You know, we don't know how long the road is ahead of us anymore, do we? You know, the Bible says that he can come any time now. And it says in the Bible, we are getting mighty close to the rapture of the church, to going home to be with Jesus. I don't believe it's going to be very long. But you know, I was listening this morning to a good preacher on TV for a few minutes. And he was giving some ideas about that. And I'm glad he did. But it slipped my mind just as I was going to tell you what he said. I might get it later on. I hope I do. But anyway, excuse me. Anyway, we don't know, do we? We don't know how long we've got for this world. Every day of our life ought to be for Jesus. Every minute of our life ought to be for Jesus. Every breath of our life ought to be for Jesus. Because you know what? Those that are lost without Christ are not but one heartbeat from hell. And that's sad, isn't it? It is to me, and I don't know about you. And it breaks my heart when I think about it. You know, how long we don't know. None of us know. But there's one thing that we can know, that God is there with us. No matter what happens, he's there. He's there with our life and with our life. And whatever happens in our life, God's in control. I know what it was now. He was talking about 9/11. He said, back when 9/11 came along, right after that, churches were full. They saw a whole lot of different people coming in. Just as soon as things got a little bit cooled off about 9/11, it almost went back to the same ones again. People today just don't understand, do they? Or if they do, they just, I don't know what it is. They just don't care, I don't reckon. I don't know what it is. And you probably don't either. If you do, then just let me know after a while, okay? We see God promised us that he'd be with us even unto the end of the way. God had made a covenant with Abraham, didn't he? Y'all remember that? He renewed it with his people through Moses, and now he's ready to fulfill the promise to Joshua. All the land of the Philistines had been fought over with time, but God made the deed out to Israel. Did you know that? The devil has unsaved people believing that Christianity consists of taking them all, taking them away, all the joy of living and privilege of having a good time. But ever since I've been saved, I've had a pretty good time. Especially if I was in God's will, I had a real good time. Because I enjoyed the fellowship of other people, Christian people. I enjoyed worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth. I even shouted every once in a while. You can't believe that, can you? Well, I'm telling you, when God gets a hold of you in the right way, in the right time, it ain't no telling what likely happened to you. But he's in control, so don't worry about it. Don't look around at somebody else. If he's telling you to shout, say, look, I'm fixing to shout. So don't let me scare you. I told somebody here where I've been. We were talking about the Lord, and I said, I think I'll shout. He didn't know what to say. But you know, people got the wrong idea about shouting. I know people shout in different ways. They worship God in different ways. But every once in a while, when the Lord gets over to me, I have to do a little bit of hollering. And if you ever hear me holler, don't worry about it. I holler at my wife sometimes, and I kind of worry about that afterwards. Because I didn't mean to. But when God's got a hold of you, and he's blessing you, you just love to shout anyway. Whether you want to or not. You say, well, I didn't know then. Well, you know it now. So when you get to feeling good and bubbly all over, when the Lord's blessing, be careful. Okay? People think I'm crazy sometimes, and I am sometimes. But I tell you what, I'm about as sane as I know how to be most of the time. You see, but God has promised us some things, and I praise the Lord for that. He's been better to me than he has you. You can say that to me if you want to. How about doing it? God's been good, better to me than he has you. Just do it for me. Come on.
God's been
better
to me
than he has you. Okay. I'm glad he has. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. He has. He has been good to you. I know you have. He has. Nancy, he's been good to you. Bill, he's been good to you.
Amen.
These are a little bit older than I am. I hate to say all the first time. But anyway. Biddy, he's been good to you. Donna, he's been good to you. Irma, he's been good to you. Verna, he's been good to you. You know why?
You
married me. No, I'm just kidding there. Honestly, I'm just getting you to really listen, if you will. Because God's been good to us, amen? Sure he is. You see, he made a covenant with Abraham, and I done said that. And the devil has unsaved people believing that Christianity consists of taking away all the joys of living. But I'm here to tell you the devil is a lie and the father of the lie. Is he not? Sure he is. Now, I know I'm going to have some problems more than likely because I'm saying that. But that's all right. God's going to take care of that too for me. Believe what you want to. But I'm telling you, the devil's a slough fox. And he is not, like I heard some people say, he's a little old man with red man with horns and got a pitchfork in his hand. You might look at him that way if you want to. But that ain't what God's word says, is it? Absolutely not. But see, he can paint a pretty picture. But the end is awful. You know, thank God. It's not the Lord taking away the good things, but the Lord is giving us good things. Grace doesn't take away, but instead gives, and gives. Does it not? Sure it does. See, he gives us peace instead of fear. When this COVID virus came along, all the people had fear in their body and in their heart. Well, I began to think about it too. And I'm sure you did too. Is anybody here that didn't have any fear about it? Naturally speaking, I know you did. But if you would just stop and think, God is the one that was over. He's in control. He knows what's happening. And he's taking care of it. In fact, he's already taken care of it. We just got to accept things like it is. Amen? Now shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of my life. And that is I was with Moses, yes, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee, he told Joshua. You see, this was all that Israel needed to go over and possess the land that God had promised them. And that made them a fourfold promise that would preserve them from all oppositions. That man would be able to stand against them, no man. He would be with them. He would never fail them. He would never forsake them. Then we read the account of Israel going over the land of promise, and we see every one of those precious promises fulfilled was God preserves his people from danger. His people from danger. And they're talking about Israel here now. All right, the Bible, let me give you a little illustration here. Then the spies came to Jericho, and Rahab said, they have heard the mighty things that God has done for you. You see, I don't see any cause for thee to worry whether we are going to make it or not. Then God saved us, and it was already settled that we were going to make it. It's already settled if we're saved. While I was with them in the world, he kept them in thy name. And those that thou gavest me, I have kept. We see that he has here his promises. But not only did he give us promises, he gives us privileges for our Christian life. Our Christian life is not a humdrum sorrowful life, is it? Absolutely not.
We've got privileges that we never had before. This world doesn't have anything.
Especially for us. This is not our home. We're just pilgrims and strangers passing through. And God has promised me a lot of things. He's promised you a lot of things. And let's just remember that. He said, be strong and be of good courage, the Bible told Joshua. And God had promised them his land and assured them that he would preserve them. So you see, friends, we are preserved until the end of the world. We are preserved because we're saved. We're preserved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God for that. You see, we as Christians have a privilege to accept it and go over with a shout of victory, to go over down and discouraged, but they didn't do it, did they? They went over. Some of them were, but most of them wouldn't. There were some strong in faith and some weak in faith. But there, some went encouraged and some went discouraged. That's the way a whole lot of us today are. Some of us went encouraged and some of us are discouraged. Well, I can tell you, we've got a whole lot of things to be encouraged about. If you'll just live with the Lord, because that's what he wants you to do. Be faithful, and I believe you are. Just keep on being faithful. He tells us to stand and put on the whole armor. And when we do it, everything's going to be all right because he's going to take care of us. We've got the armor on. How can the devil do anything to us if the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed us from our sins? You say, well, he makes us, if we're in a natural state, yes. But I'm talking about the spiritual state. What can he do to us? He can do a whole lot of things, can't he? Look at Job. God told us, have you considered my servant Job? No. Well, I tell you what, you can consider him, but you cannot have his soul. So you see what happened to Job. His wife even got so discouraged, she said, why don't you curse God and die? Sad, isn't it? I can imagine what he said. He probably looked at him and said, you foolish woman. God is God. He's my God. I'm coming through this. And he did. Because he had the strength and he had the courage and he had the blessings of God. Just like we have. Things happen to us and we get upset about it. And I'm the same way. I have to admit that sometimes. Friend, we're still in our own body, old body. But one of these days, our body's going to be glorified. Likened to the Son of God. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know this morning, probably. But let me say something to you. All because of grace. God's grace. What is God's grace? Have you ever tried to spell it? G-R-A-C-E. Do you know? G stands for God. God's grace. R stands for redemption. God's redemption through grace. A stands for it. A-T. C stands for Christ. E stands for expense. God's redemption at grace at Christ's expense. That's exactly what it means. Of course, it was God's expense too. He gave his only begotten son. There's mercy, there's love, there's happiness, there's peace, and there's joy, and there's a home in heaven that God has promised us. And he also will gave us the things that we needed on the way. And there was them right there, mercy, love, happiness, peace, joy, and a home in heaven. So, what do we do this morning? Do you have the victory? You can have. You see, he's promised us possession, and we have assurance of being preserved. And we have the privilege to shout and enjoy and bless with the Word of God. Isn't that wonderful? Just imagine what we as Christians have. And you know what? I've got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. How great God is. He's wonderful, isn't he? He's just wonderful. I want us this morning to think about what has been said. And I may have fumbled around with it. I don't know. I know one thing. My head feels a little bit better. Maybe that's what I need. Is just put my faith and trust and thoughts on the Lord. Amen. And I know that's what we need. So what about it for you today? Let's put it all in plain language. We need the whole armor of God and to live for Him and trust Him with everything that we have. You know what? It's all God's anyway. It's all God's anyway. I tell people a whole lot of times, I got a few little suits. Most of them were gift to me. Praise the God for that. Most of them were. And most of them are getting old. But that's all right. I'm getting old with them. And you know what? One of these days, I'm going home. I ain't gonna need these suits no more. I'm gonna have a glorified body likened unto the Son of God. Isn't it wonderful? Would you like to just pray today? I think we need to pray. Don't y'all? It's a whole lot to pray. Let me say this to you. As I said, you know, the devil's having a heyday now. I've heard of two. I'm gonna say within the last month, two pastors resigning. I've heard of two or three of them had cancer. See, it's getting close, friends. It's getting close. It could be any day now. But people are going on just like they always have. Everything's hokey-dokey. It ain't so.